Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 213 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again today on the show. We've got breaking news along with a bunch of other stuff. The breaking news concerns the extension of the expire of the amnesty that was supposed to end at the end of October. You probably got another 6 months on top of that to hang on to your newly prohibited firearms without becoming a criminal here in Canada. And that applies to, I don't know, 800,000 Canadians that have firearms licenses and are law-abiding people. Anyway, well, I'll have the whole story about that for you. A lot of moving parts there, as well a Supreme Court update on a couple of things. The CCFR also attended the Conservative Party of Canada Outdoor Caucus Symposium this past week. And we ended up hearing some pretty important information that I think all of you need to know. A lot of it concerns the 30 by 30 initiative. If you haven't heard of that before, that should be one of the biggest stories in Canada, but it's not. So also National Range Day just happened. So we've got a couple of stories there, as well as a heartwarming story about a pink shotgun that was donated to the CCFR. We get a lot of stories like this, but this was another great one. So we wanted to share that with you. All that and more. The CCFR Radio Podcast starts right now. Thank you so much to our great friends over at Vortex Canada. They continue to support the CCFR podcast and the CCFR. Can't say enough about them. Check out all their great products at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. Vortex, the force of optics. In Canada, firearm owners understand the importance of safe, effective self-defense options. That's why we're proud to have Byrna as a sponsor. Byrna's less lethal launchers are designed to help protect you and your family without taking a life. Byrna offers peace of mind and a practical layer of personal security for Canadians who value safety. Learn more at byrna.ca/CCFR. That's byrna.ca/CCFR. A huge thank you goes out to our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do a lot of great work over there, including supporting the CCFR and the CCFR Radio Podcast. Check out all their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. CTOMS has been a provider of trauma care training to military and police in Canada for nearly two decades. Now this emergency medical training is being made available to a wider audience through CTOMS online courses. Go to ctomsacademy.com and use promo code CCFR30 to get 30% off. That's ctomsacademy.com. All right, we are back. Now, if you keep up to date all the time with what goes on in the firearm community, you may know about this breaking news about the amnesty being extended. If you don't, then you're getting a bunch of the moving parts right now. So, before we get into that, I just have one announcement to make. I talked in the last episode, I think, about the AGM that the CCFR just had. It was probably our best AGM ever. It was really great. Tons of fun, great speakers, great people. It just went swimmingly, okay? Now, we had some great speeches. I'm going to get all those speeches out there for all of you, but I have not had time. And then anything that I was going to do today got completely derailed with the news of the amnesty extension and some other stuff around that, which I'm going to share with you in a second. So I just want to let you know and let the speakers know if they're watching the podcast, I will get your speeches up probably before the next episode. So we'll show some excerpts of some of the speeches, hopefully in the next episode, but we're going to put them out in their entirety, or at least maybe edited just for brevity or something like that. But they're coming. Please just be patient. We're a small group of people doing a lot of things right now, but I did want to make sure that I made mention of that. Okay, let's get back to this amnesty extension. So I'm not going to talk too much about the CCFR's statement about this this whole thing. Because Tracy and I just did an emergency video. I did this earlier today, like, I don't know, at 5 p.m. my time. It's like, it's 8 o'clock on the West Coast. I've been going for 12 hours. It's been a long day. So what I'm going to do is just play you an excerpt from, well, it's almost the entirety of that video that we circulated around about the extension of the amnesty, minus, you know, a little bit of stuff in the beginning and the end. And then we'll pick it up in a second. All right. Well, we've got some good news. We've got some breaking news, and it's good news. So, Wilson, why don't you tell us what the federal government announced just now?
Well, two things. Number one, that the buyback program for retailers has now concluded. So that's over with. But the big news is this statement right here. I think I'm just going to read it to you because it gives you the deeds. In March 2026, the Supreme Court of Canada agreed to hear an appeal challenging the May 2020 prohibition of assault-style firearms. In light of this, the amnesty orders have been extended and set to expire 90 days following the date the Supreme Court of Canada renders its decision, which is expected next year. By extending the amnesty period, the government is providing certainty to individual owners and businesses that they will continue to be protected from criminal liability while the Supreme Court hears the appeal and renders its decision. So that is huge news. Massive.
It actually is. And it does a lot of things, right? It pushes it off. People can hang on to their guns, don't have to worry about prosecution. Businesses don't have to worry about prosecution. It gets us closer to another election. You never know. I mean, look at how fast politics moves in Canada right now. You never know what's going to happen. So sometimes a delay is just as good as a win.
Oh, absolutely. And like, here's the thing. We've reviewed the tentative court schedule. And I mean, we're not looking at a hearing until probably the new year, right? January to April sometime. And then, of course, the Supreme Court goes away, I believe, and works on a decision. And that could take some time, too. So this amnesty is 3 months after that eventual decision comes out. That could be next summer. Like, we could be a year off from now. So, yeah, that definitely takes the tension off a little bit. I mean, we got to keep our foot to the floor. But at the same time, it also saves us a bit of trouble having to file for an injunction. I mean, we've said it before. We weren't sitting around hoping that the government would do the right thing. We were prepared to take legal action to make sure that happens. But here we are. They actually did. So fantastic. Well,
yeah. I mean, that obviously saved us some effort and saved us some money. But I don't think that this is born out of fairness. Now, I'm not going to criticize the government for doing this. I'm going to take it. Right. I mean, this is what a reasonable government would have just solved their violence problem and not went after all the people that aren't doing the violence. Then a reasonable government after that, if that was too far for them, they would have done a grandfathering program where everybody could use their guns because they obviously weren't a problem before. And then, you know, this is probably a reasonable thing for them to do. But I think they did this more for themselves than anyone. And here's why. Imagine that the Supreme Court renders its decision, let's say, next March. Well, they will have taken all the guns that people were willing to give up. All the guns that people were willing to destroy would have been destroyed. All the prosecutions that the government would have conducted, right, gone after people. They're going to come after me if I don't comply 100%, right?
Oh,
search warrants and charges and fines and courted, you know, all the rest of that stuff all would have been well in progress by the time, God forbid, if they lost, then they'd be like, holy smokes, how are we going to provide restitution to all the people whose property was destroyed and we took it and people we prosecute? Imagine that. So really difficult to reel that back. So I don't, again, I'm not going to criticize them. I appreciate it. I'm glad that people aren't going to be, again, have this threat over their lives being destroyed, held over their heads in the interim. But I think this was, they kind of looked at it and went, this is untenable for us to do. If, you know, God forbid, from their perspective, the Supreme Court rules against them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's exactly it. Either way. I mean, it's a small win. It's not the end, but it's just another example of how it pays off to stay in the fight, to persevere, and to keep at these people. We promised gun owners we'd do everything possible, and we meant it, and we will not give up. So,
It's not over yet. This could drag on till next summer. So, I don't have a lot to add other than what Tracy and I said, but I do want to share a thought, and I got a couple of things that just happened today that I want to share with you as well. The thought is this: if you remember, I don't know, end of last year or early this year, Tracy and I have said at different times, I think we both said it, it's like, you don't have to do anything at this point. And all hope is not lost. A lot can happen between now and the end of October. Like, if you've been following us, you know, we've both said that at different times. And I'll tell you, you know, at a certain point I was like saying that, or I was listening to Tracy say it, and I'm like, what can happen by the end of October? I don't know. Like, the logic part of my mind is like what? Mark Carney, you know, backroom dealed his way to a majority. There's not going to be an election anytime soon. The Supreme Court, we haven't heard back from them in I don't know how long, in an unusually long time. They're probably going to say no. Like, how are we going to stop any of this stuff? Other than the government just stopping it themselves, which they're not going to do. They've committed 100% to this, no matter how ridiculous and how bad it is. And I'm like, well, even if my logical mind doesn't have a reason to continue, the CCFR is the reason why we exist, is to fight. I have no choice but to keep fighting them. Even if I'm only fueled by faith, that if we keep doing the right things and we keep on pressing on, I don't just give up and then just resort to just saying stupid nonsense on the internet for a living, that somehow something will happen. And boy, from our perspective today, versus how it looked a few months ago, things did change. Some things did happen. A lot did happen by the end of October, didn't it? The Supreme Court took our case. We have a chance to win. We might not win. We probably won't, but we have a chance. And we do have a compelling case. And we are right. Whether or not the court is going to agree with us is different, right? And we didn't even have to force an injunction. We didn't even have to force the government to push the amnesty back. And it was at a reasonable level, which is 3 months past the decision. A lot did happen before October. So anyway, life will teach you. I love learning things, and I always have my eyes and ears open for life, just as I pass through it, to teach me more about what I should do differently. And it's not that I'm doing this differently, but it showed me again, hey, if you are out of hope, just run on faith. Keep doing the things you're supposed to do, and there is a chance that things will change, that you'll have some kind of success. In this case, a delay is just as good as a win at this point in the fight, right? We want to get all our guns back or keep them all. But at this point, it's just as good as a win. It's actually a really big deal, but I'm always looking at the end goal, right? So yeah, life just said, you know, sometimes things will work out, just keep fighting. Not that I didn't know that, but this is a perfect example. So when you see that in real life, make a note of it. So anyway, just want to share that with you. Pretty cool. All right. So this stuff is hot off the press, man. This all just happened. So Pauly Sestavien decided they were going to do a media statement. What a piece of garbage this is. If this was one of my employees, I would fire them today. I wouldn't wait an hour to fire them if somebody at the CCFR that was paid by us did this. It's totally ridiculous. What a strange group of people. Just the behavior is really weird. So anyway, they put out this media statement and it says all the regular stuff. Pauly Sestavien is deeply disappointed in the federal government's decision to extend the amnesty period, blah, 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 blah. But here's where it gets interesting. This extension means that highly lethal prohibited weapons will remain in private hands for many more months. They've been in our hands for over 6 years. You know how many shootings or multiple victim shootings even happened? It's zero. You know, like, this is a case study. This should be examined and put into an actual peer-reviewed study. Zero. Anyway, no rationale was given to justify the decision other than, listen to this, quote, providing certainty to individual owners and businesses that they will continue to be protected from criminal liability while the Supreme Court hears the appeal and renders its decision, end quote. This is the only justification. Is that not enough? I don't know what goes on in the heads of these people, but protecting 800,000, unqualified number, but somewhere around there, 800,000 Canadians who are completely law-abiding, get a criminal record background check every day, you know, the most law-abiding in our society, holding on to the guns that they've had for 50 years, and protecting them from going to jail, having their careers destroyed, having their doors kicked in, having their at very least, their property taken by no fault of their own. Yeah. And protecting them from criminal liability. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good justification. This wouldn't even occur to Pauly Sestavien. Yeah, obviously. Then they start talking about the government did not seem to apply the standard test that the court normally applies in determining whether or not to issue an injunction. Nobody even applied for an injunction. We were working on it, but just started. So it didn't cost us that much. We had just finished our case to the Supreme Court, the factum.
It hasn't even been filed yet. It's going to be filed, like, I don't know, whatever, within a week. But we didn't, nobody applied for an injunction. But anyway, whatever. So the government didn't apply the standard that normally applies, including the balance of inconvenience and relative weight of potential irreparable harm. So faced by gun owners, all the things that I just talked to you, versus the irreparable harm to possible victims of future mass shootings, women, children, police officers, other members of the public who could be shot and killed with one of these weapons. That is so disingenuous. It's hard for me to come up with the words to describe it. The first mass shooting in Canadian history was the Brampton school shooting, committed with a .22, a pump action shotgun, and a lever action .30-30. All hunting guns that are legal today, non-restricted today, designed and for use in hunting. And that was a pretty significant mass shooting. It was the first big one in school shooting in Canadian history. Look at the Nova Scotia mass casualty event, right? The whole thing. I was on the Mass Casualty Commission as a participant. I had all of the evidence from the RCMP before the public did. Not one firearm used to kill a Canadian through that whole crime spree came from within the country that was domestically sourced. Not one. Every one of them, well, Heidi Stevenson's handgun was used, but that was taken from an RCMP officer. So domestically sourced, but that wouldn't have been a result. That wouldn't have been made available by the lack of gun laws in Canada. And all the rest were smuggled illegally from the United States. Not one gun ban, not one confiscation of guns were never legal in Canada. In the last 100 years, that shooting would have happened exactly the same way. Anyway, wild. Now, speaking of wild stuff, I do not ever do this, but I'm going to do it now. It's going to be scandalous. So some people are going to like it, some people aren't. But I just, this is so bad. So this kind of stuff, what I'm about to talk about, this happens, I'm not going to overstate, right? So I'm not going to say it happens often, but it happens. And when it does, it's just not relevant in the big picture to us. Now, I'm going to talk about the Canadian Shooting Sports Association, otherwise known as the CSSA. They wanted to spread the news of what happened with the amnesty extension. And so they should. They don't mention us in their statement. That's okay too. I know that's uncomfortable because the big things that are being done are done by the CCFR, and that's okay. And if they don't want to mention it, that's all. Like, I can't express to you enough, it doesn't bother me. But this statement is just beyond the pale. Get this. I'm going to read this to you. The government of Canada has announced an extension of the firearms amnesty period, now set to expire 90 days after the Supreme Court of Canada delivers its decision on the appeal of the 2020 assault-style firearms ban. It's our case. We aren't there alone. There are three or four other groups that have been shoulder to shoulder with us through this whole process. We're the only gun group, which is fine, right? Like, we have it handled. We don't need other people there. It's not going to help our case any. But there were other groups, landowners group and private individuals and all the rest, that went all the way with us. We're not alone there. But it wasn't any of these guys. So anyway, they don't mention us. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. While this extension provides continued protection for responsible firearms owners and businesses, it also prolongs the uncertainty facing our community. The Canadian Shooting Sports Association urges all members, now this is their message based on what we've read here, to stay informed and prepared as the legal process unfolds. We remain committed, as they have in this case, obviously, to defending the rights of lawful firearm owners and will continue to advocate for fair evidence-based policy. But it gets worse. Now they're going to thank everyone for supporting them in all of this. Thank you to everyone who has spoken up and supported our efforts. Your voices matter now more than ever, and your donations, I guess, is where this is going. Stay tuned for updates as we monitor the Supreme Court proceedings and the future of the assault-style firearms compensation program. Now, this doesn't mean anything to the CCFR, obviously, but this is, like, this is ridiculous, man. You know, I don't know whether they're going to look at that. I don't know if anybody looked at this before it went out and went, wait a minute, this reads like we did this. We can't do that. We didn't do anything. The CSSA played no meaningful part in any of this. I would never let something like this go out. I'd be like, we didn't do that. You reword that or don't put it out. But anyway, I don't know if they're going to try to walk this back or whether they're embarrassed by this. I certainly would be. I would be humiliated if we put out something like this, you know, implying that we're taking credit for something we had nothing to do with. But not that the CSSA would ever know this. But let me tell you, this took over 6 years and an amount of effort that they would be completely unfamiliar with to get to, for a gun group, first time in the history of Canada, of our country, where a gun group directly sued the federal government on behalf of gun owners and went from the federal court level all the way to the Supreme Court of Canada. Never happened before. Okay? That took a tremendous amount of work that these people would never understand because they never even got close to it, ever. And it took $3 million to get there, which I had to fundraise. And when I say I mean the CCFR. And I put my face on it saying, trust me, support the CCFR and we will go all the way. And same thing with Wilson. Everybody else at the CCFR, I'm losing my voice. Sorry. Been a long day. It's now 9:30. I've been at it since 8:30 in the morning, 9:30 at night now. And all the volunteers working these taking their own time to work the shows. We did 150 shows this year alone. And I attended, I don't know what, four or five of them. You know, Wilson, five, six, seven of them. She does more than I do. All volunteers doing that work. To say to people, trust us. Our organization means what it says. We're going to fight for you all the way, no matter what it takes. Fine. I'll enter your contest. I'll become a member. I'll donate. I'll be part of the insiders. I'll volunteer. I'll give you my time, which is worth more than money. That's what it took to get to this point. Now, on the other hand, I will tell you this. I'm going to hand a congratulations and a thank you to Canada's National Firearms Association. Because while they posted this news, and both of these organizations should be posting this news and celebrating it, it is a win. It's not the end of the fight, but it's a win. And whether they mention us or not, that's okay. They don't have to. But the NFA posted this and then posted the National Post story about the extension, which told, like, how did this happen? Who was involved? All the rest of that stuff. So good on the NFA for staying classy. I appreciate that. And I would never let anyone from our organization try to take credit for something that either of these guys would do. But I just want to end up by just reiterating, like, man, this has been a long road and we wouldn't be here without all the volunteers, all the people who have supported us, all the people who have just done the work. We pat yourselves on the back. It's going to be a short-lived victory, but pat yourselves on the back, all of you who have supported the CCFR. Or volunteered because you did this. Like, we did this together. I couldn't do this by myself. Either could you. We got together, we trusted each other, and we did it. So win or lose at the end, doesn't matter. We got here and look what we accomplished. We really did something. And all of our names and all of your associations with this case will live forever in the public record in Canada. Your names are on the Supreme Court, on a Supreme Court of Canada case. If you're a volunteer, your name's on there too. Maybe if it isn't in there in ink, it's still there. So anyway, all right. I talked enough about this. Thanks for being patient with me. I'm just rattling off because it's been a long day. I'll have a short outro for the end, which is Field Officer of the Month, by the way. So make sure you stand by for that because that's really important. Let's get to the conversation that I recorded at the beginning of today with Tracy. All right. We are back in via the internet. We've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. Wilson!
I'm not sick of it yet.
All right. But you are sick.
Okay. So I was going to insert some kind of like man cold joke here because Colin did give me his cold. And of course, now it's going around the family. But yeah, it probably wouldn't be well received. So yes. But yeah, I am a little bit under the weather.
Well, you know, sometimes if you're not sure, it's always better to say nothing because, as I like to say, a closed mouth gathers no feet.
You're right. You're totally right. Yeah.
Not that I abide by that all the time myself, but I try.
Rod, call my mom. I'm sick.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's get started. We got lots of cool things to talk about. First thing is kind of a after action report of your appearance at the Conservative Outdoor Caucus Outdoor Symposium, I think it's called, correct?
Yeah, that's right. So this is, excuse me, put on every year by the Conservative Hunting and Angling Caucus. And they bring together stakeholders from all across the country. They descend upon Ottawa. And it's a great opportunity to hear about from all the other groups, all the hunting groups, fishing groups. Like I'm talking, there's a lot of stuff going on here. I was the only firearms group to speak at it. So that was great. I gave an update on all the work we've been doing. And of course, on the Supreme Court case. And yeah, we got to hear from everybody. This went on all day long. It was a really long day. And then we went on to have a social hosted by SCI, Safari Club International, our good friends over there. And they do this at this hunter guy's house. And he's got a crazy collection of taxidermy. And it's a lot of fun. So we went over there for that. And then Monday, we gathered back on Parliament Hill. And we were originally supposed to have this bear pit conversation, but we ended up hearing from a panel on kind of the 30 by 30 agenda and land access and all of those issues. And it was super engaging. So we did that and then topped it all off Monday night with a garden party at Stornoway. And people call it Stornoway Mansion. It's a house. It's not a mansion. But yeah, at Pierre Polyev's house, we had a beautiful garden party in the backyard. There was wild game, all kinds of delicacies from all across the country, live music. There was a band playing. And yeah, it was just a great time to connect with other stakeholders, members of parliament and senators. So it was packed.
Awesome. It was a lot of fun. And we talked about this in the last episode. There's a lot to be learned at these symposiums. They're actually really cool. You'll just learn so much about other people's files or their agendas or their concerns, right? It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
However, yeah. The big news, same thing as a couple of years ago when we were there before, is this 30 by 30 agenda. And I think that it's well worth our time to make sure that people know about this. There's two components to it. There's 30 by 30 and 50 by 50. Why don't you explain a little bit about 30 by 30? Because that's the one that's in front of us and why it's a real problem.
Yeah. So 30 by 30, it's this idea that they want to conserve, I'm using air quotes if you're listening to this on audio, they want to conserve 30% of Canada's lands and waterways for, you know, the future. But they're not actually conserving it. They're preserving it because they're just denying you access to use it. And you may think, well, that sounds good. We want to, you know, hunters are conservationists and we want to make sure that we, you know, protect our nature and all of these things. But it's not actually about that. It's about completely cutting off access to the lands and waterways where we gather our food and enjoy our lives. And this would not just impact hunters and fishers. This would also impact just people going about their daily lives, right? You want to go for a jog out in the forest? Well, not in that 30%. And 30% is a lot of land. So it's actually a major problem. It's interesting because my seminar was first in the morning. I was the very first one to go. And I do like that. I prefer that actually, because if you're not first, you're last. But the entire schedule for the day actually got pushed because the guy who did a presentation on 30 by 30 had like an hour and a half of questions afterwards. Like people were just hammering him. And I asked him that in a room full of Canada's greatest conservationists, how can you say that this is anything more than just preserving it? And who are you saving it for? Like, that's the question I want to know. If we're not going to be able to access it and harvest, you know, food and sustenance, if we're not able to enjoy it, even just go backpacking or hiking, you know, what are you saving it for? I don't, it's just denying people access to the land. So yeah, it is a huge topic. And the whole schedule for Monday morning got derailed. It was supposed to be a bear pit with members of parliament. And it actually ended up being a panel discussion on land access and these very same issues. And they had some lawyers there dealing with some of the Cowichan stuff. And yeah, it was an overwhelming conversation. I thought the gun grab would be the big talk of the symposium, but it definitely took second place to the land access issue.
Well, the land access issue is huge, right? And yeah. Just to stress, this is not just about, okay, if they're going to, you know, not allow hunting on it's you can't go there. So,
yes.
You know, if you've seen the original Hunger Games, you know, it was like you take all the common people, you kind of put them in an area and you do not let them set foot in the wilderness. They cannot, you know, harvest any resources from the wilderness. They cannot even step foot in there. And that's what this is. And this is 30% by 2030. This is not far away. It's 3.5 years from now. Mm-hmm. And this is basically on our doorstep. And then 50 by 50, meaning half of the landmass and half of the waterways by Canada, you as a commoner, little serf on the land, cannot set foot in there. It just, I don't know.
Yeah.
People got to think long and hard about this. This is a big deal. And this is happening. Like, they're all in on it and they're all pushing it. It needs to be resisted.
Well, and part of the issue of people being able to access land and waterways is we do conserve it. And I know for people who don't hunt or fish or, you know, do stuff in the wilderness, they may not understand what that means, but all kinds of things happen if you don't manage your resources. You know, we share this planet with all kinds of creatures and fish and birds and everything else. But as humans take over space, you know, there's some wildlife management that needs to happen. And when you start denying people access to those lands, like, there will be other, you know, domino effects from this. But yeah, denying access to Canadians to 50% of our country and our waterways by 2050 is legitimately insane. It's not a good plan. And I think everybody was on board and the alarm bells were not just ringing. They were, you know, it was terrifying to listen to. And I think, I think you're going to see a lot more action on this. And that's the great thing about this symposium is you've got a lot of like-minded groups that have some things in common, but we may not, like, we haven't really covered this 30 by 30 topic, right? Or land access. However, it's going to greatly affect our members and the people who support us. And it's the same for all these groups. So the value in the symposium is gathering us all under one roof in one room and working on these issues together. We're far more powerful together. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to go to this. And every time I go, I come away with just so much more knowledge than I had before. So very important.
It is actually a really cool event. All right, let's move on. National Range Day. We had a pretty successful National Range Day. I think we had somewhere around 40 events that happened across the country. These events are getting better and better because ranges and clubs and whatnot are getting used to doing them. They're developing their own in-house expertise. So they're well-run. They're very welcoming. I attended the one at my range, which is the Agassiz Harrison Rod and Gun Club. I flipped burgers. I made 100 burgers.
I saw that.
Doing what I do best, flipping burgers. That's what I was meant to do, actually. Not this stuff. But of course, you had the big flagship event at your gun club as well.
Yeah. And I got to say, like, we've had really good weather here in Ottawa, believe it or not. I mean, we have extreme weather. It's 30 below in the winter and 30 above in the summer. And we had days and days of sunny, hot weather leading up to National Range Day. And we'd have days and days of it since. But that morning we wake up and it's like, we've got thunder and lightning warnings. It's pouring rain. I was like, oh man, I've got all those inflatables coming. Like, I go all out for this event. So I said, you know what? It is what it is. We're Canadians. We're just going to, you know, put up with it and we're just going to go. And it's funny. I got out of the car at the range and the rain sort of tapered off and we set up and we got everything set up. We welcomed 400 people into the club. It was fantastic. We had a great day. It was cloudy and, you know, gloomy and 20 degrees, but you know what? We didn't get wet. And honest to God, we closed at 4:00. We got everything cleaned up at the range by 5:00. And I got 10 minutes down the road and the skies just opened up and poured on us for 24 hours straight after that. So I couldn't help but laugh that all these weather warnings and the rain just held off long enough for us to do our events. So yeah, we had the free kids range. It was packed all day long. A pistol was by far the most popular thing. I think people are understanding the gravity of the situation that they're not able to get one. So they were eager to come out and try that. We had all kinds of kids bouncing around in the Bouncy Castle Park. That's always a big hit. Of course, our friends at Vortex Canada were there with all their cool scopes on cool rifles. People were just shooting all day long. It was amazing. We had reenactors walking around playing kind of Civil War songs. And yeah, it was just a really fun day. And of course, the ice cream truck was parked right across from our booth on the way out. So lots of ice cream to be had at the range. But yeah, it was a wonderful day.
Well, one of the things that happens every year is, if you remember back in 2003, this is a Marco Mendocino thing. What a ridiculous slap in the face of a, you know, government official. But nonetheless, he was there for a number of reasons. But yes. During his tenure, so this was 2023, the liberals, this is how petty they are. They decided to come out with a national day against gun violence, as if we're not all against gun violence every day of the year. I think I'm stealing your line there. But so they created the National Day Against Gun Violence and did it the first Friday of June every year, rather than our first Saturday, just to basically using the levers of government to troll gun owners. It was just very interesting.
Yeah, like for me, I mean, first of all, you're right. Every day is the National Day Against Gun Violence. But how typically liberal, instead of actually doing something, reversing some of their damaging policies, their soft on crime bail stuff, you know, instead of doing anything about it, they create what, a holiday, like a day for it? I don't know. It's just kind of weird. But you're right. It's almost like childish, like na 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 boo boo. We have our day too. And of course, they put it literally the day before ours. So anyways, they can go ahead and do that, because like I said earlier, we're all against gun violence. I also want a safer country and I want citizens to be safe. But if they really cared about gun violence and the victims that come out of it, they would actually do something to curb it instead of having a day to troll us on social media.
Yeah, just silly. Anyway. All right. forgot to turn my phone off. So it's like making all this noise. I'm like, ugh. But anyway, this is what you get when we're doing the podcast. It's as real as it gets.
Yeah.
Okay. So we were asked to join a specific group called the Canadian Wildlife Conservation Partners. And why don't you tell us a little bit about that? It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So this was actually born, I guess, probably last year the year before, out of the Outdoor Symposium. And this is a huge collaborative of wildlife groups, hunting and fishing groups. It was founded by SCI, Delta Waterfowl, the Wild Sheep Guys of BC, and the Canadian Fur Institute. So trappers, hunters, and bird hunters. And now I think we encompass 35 or so groups, and collectively we represent well over a million members. So the CCFR is a proud affiliate of this group. It's called the Canadian Wildlife Conservation Partners, the CWCP. And you can find them online. And we had a meeting in Ottawa on the Tuesday after all the symposium and the garden party and everything else. And we are looking at different ways that we can collaborate together. Because of course, like I said earlier, we all have, you know, intersecting interests in the defense of our members. But we're only as strong as our membership. But when we join together, we're a lot stronger. So I think we had a number, but it was like 1.1 something million people that we collectively directly represent. And so I think that's a lot more powerful than your individual membership. And we're going to be doing a bunch of stuff next year. We're looking at having a lobby week where we will literally descend upon Ottawa, like hundreds of us, and do a big, massive lobby effort together. And there's even some talk of maybe I want to call it like a million man on Parliament Hill, but maybe, you know, gathering hunters in camo on Parliament Hill just to make a statement. So there's some stuff going on behind the scenes. It's still in its infancy, but they've definitely got some good framework put around this organization. We're proud to be affiliated with them. And of course, we're going to support them in any way we can, because we all, you know, we have to work together if we want to actually win some stuff. So proud.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's wrap it up with a feel good story, a little bit of tragedy in there, but it's a feel good story. And we've got a little bit of commentary to offer associated with it. So why don't we talk about the pink shotgun?
Okay. So we got a letter from our friend, George Peters, and I'm just going to quickly read it. It's not too long. But this is what George had to say. He says, this pink Escort 12 gauge shotgun belonged to Michelle Harris. She received the shotgun for Christmas in 2015 from her husband, George, who is an avid member of the CCFR. Michelle enjoyed shooting and supported George with his love of firearms and hunting. all while battling ovarian cancer and a 3% chance of living. She overcame the cancer, but she lost her legs and was wheelchair bound. But that didn't stop her from going out and shooting this gun on the family farm alongside her family with the biggest smile on her face. Unfortunately, Michelle passed away February 18th, 2025. This shotgun wants to be donated by her and her family in memory of her never-ending adventurous life. We, her family, would like this shotgun to live on through her legacy and in her memory. And every time this gun shoots, we hope her smile will live on in the CCFR family. From George Peters and Michelle's family. So he had told me about this shotgun. And at first he said, you know, maybe we could draw for it. He wanted to give it to me. I wasn't really sure what to do with it. And I said, you know what, George, I've got an idea. And if you really want to have Michelle's legacy continue on, I would take this shotgun and I would take it to ladies' range days across the country. And hundreds, if not thousands of women would get the opportunity to shoot it. So he said, you know what? I think Michelle would love that. So I'll be taking it around with me to ladies' range days. I'm going to tell the story of George and Michelle about how she fought bravely against cancer. And in the end, we're going to make sure her legacy lives on for years, if not generations to come. So yeah. I've got the shotgun. It's going to go on the road with me and I'm going to share it with women all over Canada.
Awesome. The one thing that strikes, if I step back, it's kind of interesting because we get stories like this sent to us all over the place. Like so many people contact us with their stories. It's too much for us to even tell all the stories, but a lot of feel good stuff, a lot of accounts of why legal firearm ownership is so important to different people. Things that have happened. If you remember, we did the contest, right, for the shotgun that belonged to Canada's number two, fighter pilot, Ace.
Yes.
You know, of World War II, and a shotgun of his was donated, and it came with a big plaque and everything. Like, it's something that people should know, you know, how important firearms are to the people that own them. But it's just, we don't have enough time to talk about all the stories. But the thing that really strikes me about this is you look at some people, you talk about a firearm and they're losing their mind. They're so against it. It represents everything negative and horrible. You talk to another person and it's like, this is one of the most meaningful things of my life. And it's been nothing but a positive influence. And I guess the message, the takeaway to that is, if you have average Canadians standing right next to each other with completely different accounts of the same piece of personal property, if you're somebody that doesn't own firearms, you're not sure what all this is about, at least the one takeaway should be, I think there's more to this story than maybe I've heard from the legacy media or the government, if it's a liberal government or whatever. Maybe there's a little bit more than meets the eye, and I should look around and listen to a few different viewpoints on this issue. It might not be so cut and dried as the liberals are trying to paint it as, right?
I think you're right. And I think that speaks to the true nature of Canadian gun culture. You know, that shouldn't be a dirty word. It's something beautiful. We've met the most amazing people in the firearms community. When I first met Georgia, actually, it was at Toronto Sportsman Show. And he came up and he told me about his wife, Michelle, and told me how hard she fought and how, you know, through the years she had developed a love of firearms and shooting, and how he couldn't bear the thought of that shotgun just sitting in the gun cabinet getting rusty now that she's gone. And he was so happy to send it off with me so that it can travel across the country and put smiles on the faces of other women. So, yeah, we are not the bad people. We are not.
No, not at all. Yeah. But anyway, whatever. Got to keep fighting. Okay. So thanks for coming in to work when you're sick again.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Well, it would be helpful if I wasn't sick all the time, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, you run yourself to the red line, and and I are not getting any younger, are we?
No. I don't want to talk about that.
All right. Okay. Thanks for the update. And I guess we'll see you in the next one.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. We did it. We're at the end. That's it for episode 213 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks everyone for watching and listening and all the things. Okay. My voice is thrashed, but I'm going to try to get this out of the way. This is extremely important. This is CCFR Field Officer of the Month for May 2026, and it is our great friend Claude Robichaud from New Brunswick. Thank you, Claude, for all of your work. You rock, man. Now, there's something a little bit new. As you know, or may know, the CCFR Field Officer of the Month typically gets a year's free subscription from CATF, Canadian Access to Firearms. Donovan Dewis donates that every month. He's awesome. You're getting that. You're going to get a $100 promo code for the CCFR's online store to get you some swag, as they say. You're getting that as well. You're getting mentioned here on the podcast and on our nationally broadcast television show, CCFR Radio on the Air on WOW TV. And you are the first Field Officer of the Month to get the new dirty leather, handmade, custom leather belt, custom for you for being Field Officer of the Month, donated now every month by our great friend Josh from Dirty Leather. Thank you so much, Josh. This is, I don't know what he charges for these, like $100 or something. They're beautiful belts, handmade, fully customized, just for you, Claude, and just for the Field Officers of the Month. So it's so cool that you have businesses donating prizes for Field Officer of the Month to our volunteers who donate their time to help the CCFR to in turn help all of gun owners, whether or not they support the CCFR or help in any way or not. That is so awesome. Thank you, Josh, for that. So these belts are awesome. I hope you're going to enjoy it, Claude. And again, thank you so much for your work. Thanks to everybody who contributes to the CCFR and helps us get to where we are today. Weird day, super awesome day. I'm super exhausted. So yeah, I think that's it. More to come in the next episode. I had some other things I wanted to cover, but this one's been too long. I will chat with you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.